Today we're reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, today we are actually coming to the conclusion of our series on the Beatitudes. Next week, we're going to go into a three-part series on what in the world is going on, looking at some of the prophetic scriptures here and helping us to see that God knows what's going on. He's not surprised, and that we take heart in that, and again, that we are about our Father's business. But today, as we've been making our way, we have noticed in the Beatitudes a progression. It started out, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As we're poor in spirit, we recognize I need a Savior. I can't make it on my own. I need God. And as we respond to Him, the next one says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. As I recognize that I sin, that I fall short of the glory of God, that I mourn for that, I recognize I have a problem. And the problem in me and in us is sin. Obviously, we see it around us in the world all the time. But today, very talk of sin, that's hate speech. It's like, no, it's not hate speech. It's love. Paul said, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? And that's what Scripture, Jesus is bringing out here, that He is telling us the truth. And as we apply these truths to our lives, guess what? It works. We're comforted. God wraps His arms around us as we repent, as we turn to Him. We're forgiven for all the things we've said, all the things we've done, everything that's been wrong and messed up in our lives. We're forgiven for. And God gives us a pure heart, a clean heart. He changes us and transforms us into the people He wants us to be. And then that leads to, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Again, it's not a self-righteousness. It's not, look at me. As I recognize the holiness, the majesty of God, and that I am His servant, I walk in humility and humbleness. And meekness is not weakness, but it's strength under control. And that's the way we look as we walk with God. And as we do and have that character, then I hunger and I thirst after righteousness. I don't want my old sinful nature anymore. I don't want the anger, the rage, the malice, the slander, the gossip. I don't want to be a troublemaker. I don't want to go out and mess people and do all the garbage that we see that Scripture warns about the acts of the sinful nature. No, I want to seek after the fruit of God's Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. And as I hunger and thirst after that, that's what my goal is. Guess what? I see God changing me. We can look at each other and see changes that are taking place. It's like, it's exciting. And again, these blessings, literally it means happy. Happy are those. There should not be anything as a grouchy or sad Christian. I said this a lot, and that is the truth. We should not be, and sometimes you have to run into Christians, it's like, wow, yeah, the joy of the Lord is definitely your strength, isn't it? It's like, nah, we don't want to be grouchy, hanging our head, looking for trouble and griping about everything. We need to lift people up, encourage one another. And that doesn't mean that there aren't times where we're down. And that's why we need each other, to stand by each other, to help each other. to speak the truth in love and care for each other. And that's what the world is looking for. Not a place where we argue and fight amongst ourselves all the time, but a place where, yeah, we have deals that we have to deal with and issues that we have to work through. But guess what? We work through it. We shine out to the world around us. And then as we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the mercy that flows, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And we see that as God is merciful to us, we see, as the Apostle James brings out, that mercy triumphs over judgment. That we're not going to be pointing our fingers at everyone around us. That we're going to realize that God has been merciful and gracious to me, that I need to be merciful and gracious to people around me. And as I do, thank God, that mercy keeps flowing. And that's the other thing. We don't keep the stuff to ourselves. We talked about this. The Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River flows into the Sea of Galilee. And there is life there. There's lots of fish. We read about the disciples catching fish in the Sea of Galilee. But guess what? That same Jordan River flows through the Sea of Galilee. And guess what sea it empties into? The Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, there's no outlet. And guess what? It's dead. And you know, that is a good spiritual illustration for us, is that if we just sit here and take in and say, oh, nice sermon, nice Bible studies, and we do nothing with it, guess what? We're dead. We're spiritually dead. It's like we need to have a flow of life through us. We need to share with people. We need to speak. We need to be involved. And each of us doing our part. And everyone has a different part. We don't all do the exact same things. But as we all do our part, thank God, lots of awesome things get done. And it's exciting to see what the body of Christ can do. And then as we move forward, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. As we live out this, we do. We see that we don't want to fall back into sin. That I want the purity, the holiness of God. Because God is holy, I want to be holy. I want to walk in the paths that God has for me. And then as I walk in that way, I'm going to be the peacemaker. And they will be called the sons and the daughters of God. And we sung about that this morning. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. And this is the thing. The only way we can have peace in us is when we have peace with God. And as we have peace with God, that should translate to, hey, we should be able to get along with each other. We should be able to work together. As iron sharpens iron, so one man, one woman sharpens another. And that's the way we look at it. We rub off the rough edges. And it does. It shines out to the world around us. Now, and if we live this way, guess what? That's totally different than the world around us. And we see that the Christ-like life will produce the same reaction that Jesus' behavior did when he was here on earth. There has never been a greater peacemaker than him. Some people responded to his love and entered into a relationship of peace with him. But even though Jesus was the most loving, the most gracious, kind, and peaceful person who ever lived, he created antagonism everywhere he went because he so brought across. In fact, remember the religious leaders? They were the biggest pain in the side. not the sinners in the world. It was the religious crowd, the self-righteous people who professed one thing, who said with their lips, oh, they believe, they knew the creeds, they knew all the things of Judaism, they knew the laws, 613 of them. As Paul said, he lived them to the T. That there was, if there was anyone going to be self-righteous, no one could beat. And this is when he was Saul, and he patted himself on the back, and I love what he says, but all those things I count as dung. In other words, I'm not going to use the word. I think you know what I mean. That it's like, that is not what the basis of our life is. It's not a self-righteous, legalistic righteousness. It's a righteousness that comes by faith. It's a righteousness that comes in relationship with God. And as we walk with God, it does. It stands out. And there is a testimony. And we're told to be able to give the reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect. That's what Peter said. And Peter lived it out. They did. All the apostles lived out their faith just as we're called to. But the amazing thing is here, as we see throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, people who live for God, it doesn't take very long. And the world around them pretty soon doesn't start liking that very much. Because, in fact, when I worked in car dealership, there were a few guys. Most of the guys were really good, but I had one guy in particular that he tried to do everything he could to get me mad. He would say things purposely. And Marlene, this wasn't at the Ford dealer. Yeah, there were plenty. But he would just try to incite me, and thank God I never blew up on him. A few times I wanted to, but thank God there was that control, and we ended up in a good relationship. And that is the good thing, that we could talk and share. I could even, in fact, I'll never forget one time I drew a little thing, because he was always like, he'd never go to church or anything like that. He'd grown up in church, and everybody was a hypocrite. Pastors, priests, everybody was a hypocrite. And so one of these days, I drew up a little cartoon, and believe me, that was tough, because I am not an artist. But I put on there, I named his name, and I says, come hear his testimony as he shares on his new faith experience. And I put it up in the back room where all the mechanics were, and everyone was laughing, and he even laughed. I thought, oh, I wonder how he's going to respond to that. Because he saw what I was doing. He thought, well, I incite him. Now he's trying to incite me. But it is. It's just neat stuff to see. And that God worked in his heart. And God works in our hearts as we let our light shine, that we're not afraid to share with people. But again, the idea that we are persecuted is definitely there. Listen to what Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 1. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now that I hear that I, or now that you hear that I still have. In other words, there was opposition to Paul wherever he went. We read about that in the book of Acts. Every place he went, there was a riot. And it was the same religious leaders that caused trouble for Jesus were again causing trouble for the apostles. In the Old Testament, the same thing. People who have a form of godliness, they go through the motions, but again, their hearts are not in the right place. And that is where the challenge is. Paul said to the Thessalonians, we sent Timothy, who was our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. In other words, Paul was concerned, as the Thessalonians were receiving some persecution for their faith, that they would throw in the towel and give up. And that's the concern this morning, that if we did, and I have to honestly say, I have never felt my life threatened in this country for being a Christian. Can anybody, has anyone felt that? Anybody here at all? From maybe someone said something stupidly to you, but not really meant it, that they were out to get you. I can't honestly say I've ever felt that. Although, sad to say, I see right now in the attitude that is growing in this country an anger and a hatred towards those who truly believe in Jesus and the Bible. And you're seeing this more and more voiced. Paul told Timothy that you know about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So he's pretty much assuring us that it's going to come somehow, some way. And the bottom line is here, I and hopefully you do not want to give up, to cash the tips in and throw the towel in if something like that would happen, if something would threaten you or me, that we could be as the apostles were in the book of Acts. I love it. They obviously, Peter denied Christ before that, but we find in the book of Acts, him preaching, God working, people responding, 3,000 in the first sermon in the New Testament church. It's like, whoa, great things. Then they were having some miracles happen, and then right away, the religious leaders call him in. It's like, all right, we thought we got rid of this Jesus stuff when we killed him on the cross. Now you're blaming us for it. It's like, well, guess what? You guys did it. And but Peter plainly, and he talked to him. He plainly told him, and they said, well, we command you to stop preaching and teaching in his name. And it's like, I just love Peter's response there. And he wasn't in their face. He just said, well, judge for yourselves whether it's right for us to obey you or to obey God. For we cannot help but sharing about what Christ has done in our hearts and our lives. And that's what we are called to do. If we are called to account, I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament. They took their stand. And they weren't rude and obnoxious to Nebuchadnezzar. They were very respectful. They said, oh, king, we don't need to defend ourselves in this matter. We're not going to bow down and worship this image you've created as God. And we want you to know the God we serve is able to deliver us. And he will. You talk about faith. They knew that nothing that Nebuchadnezzar could do could stop them in their belief, their stance. But then they went on. And they knew that God would deliver them. But I love this. And this is what we need to have. But even if he does not, that is what they said, we're still not going to give it up and just do what you've told us to do, which is exactly contrary to our faith. And you know, you and I need to have that same kind of steadfast heart, that no matter what kind of edicts and tyrannical things that governments put on us, and it's throughout history that this has happened, that we need to stand for truth, stand for Jesus. And as we do, God will be with us. And we will see deliverances, and also we may have some difficult times as well. So instead of separating ourselves from the world and going along with it, laughing at its jokes, enjoying its entertainment, smiling when it mocks God, never sharing our faith, never taking the time to let people know what we believe and share about, that is one way we can escape persecution. And if you just act like the world does, and sad to say, many in the church are doing that. We act real churchy in church, but when we're out from church, we're not acting that way. In fact, then, that's why I've had many people say, well, why should I come to church? Look at all the people that go to church and then look what they're doing. And it's like, we don't want them to have that kind of testimony about us. And that's what it does. In fact, it stops our testimony when we do that, when we live like the world around us does. And some feel persecution of Christians in America is out of the question, as I mentioned, that I feel it's coming right back into view here. And we need to be very, very careful. Because on the other hand here, some bring trouble on themselves. And it is. It's by our bad attitudes. It's by our being judgmental and critical and digging at people. And many times we get ourselves into some pretty rough waters just by how we behave. But again, when we're called to live like Jesus and act like he did, then that shines out through us. And that's what we're called to do. We can't make people respond. I can't force Bibles down people's throat. But we need to know that God is with us to this day, just like he's been with the people of the past. In fact, let's just look at a few things from the past here, a few details. Persecution of Christians in the past. William Barclay gives insight into what it was like to be a Christian in Jesus' time. People often had to choose between him and someone they loved very dearly. Christians paid a high price in those days. Some of them were thrown to the lions, Daniel in the lion's den, and not just in Daniel's time, but throughout. This is not just some new thing that happened with Daniel. It's been throughout history. Others were burned at the stake. Now listen here, Emperor Nero, this is what he did. This is right in the New Testament church here. Would put pitch. So it'd be like taking pine pitch out here and coating us in pine pitch. Now you just think of the diabolical, mean, nasty things that people have done to each other throughout history. And then he would take Christians who wouldn't deny their faith, and he would burn them to light his garden parties. Now think about this. Isn't that rotten? Isn't that despicable? And God allowed him to do this. This is the thing. It's like, why didn't God strike him? How many remember some of the things from the Holocaust? And I remember that, you know, as people were being killed and children were being killed by the Nazis. And I can remember the one movie, I forget, it was on, with like Corrie ten Boom's story. And it's like people saying, where is God? Why isn't he stopping this? And it's like, we look at throughout history those things, and one thing we know is that one day God is going to stop all of this. But right now we live in a world where Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And we do come through hard, difficult times. But thank God, Jesus said he has overcome the world. And so these kinds of persecutions, believers were also had wild animal skins sewed on them. And then he would have his hunt, and this is the same Nero. So he was a pretty diabolical in his things here. Then he would have his hunting dogs tear them to pieces. Believers were tortured on the rack. Molten lead was poured on them, and red-hot brass plates were put on the tenderest parts of their bodies. Eyes were torn out, and parts of their bodies would be cut off and roasted in front of them. Hands and feet were burned, and then cold water would be poured on them to lengthen the agony. It's like, wow. The Romans blamed Christians for the burning of Rome in AD 64. They branded them as revolutionaries, and because they taught that God was going to destroy the earth with fire, and that believers were blamed for destroying families and accused of being political rebels, believers in the Roman Empire faced torture and alienation for their faith. In fact, the Romans actually believed that Christians were cannibalistic because Jesus said, "My flesh is food and my blood is drink." Like we celebrated last week with communion, they thought that was cannibalism. You guys are eating someone's body and drinking his blood. They didn't look at the symbolism of that at all. And Christians were accused of immorality because of their love feasts, and that they were said that the kiss of peace was illicit. and all these kinds of accusations that were leveled on them. And you see throughout history those things. The Old Testament servants, I encourage you to read Hebrews 11. That'll be your assignment today. Go read Hebrews 11 about all the miraculous deliverances, and then the last 8 verses, 32 to 40, talk about those that did not have miraculous deliverances. And when that happens, God has a greater reward for us. God has planned something better for us. And thank God that is set before us. But I didn't mean to get like all that negative stuff here. But when we look at this passage this morning, if we face persecution, whatever we forfeit in this world will be compensated many times over when Jesus comes into his kingdom. And there is a special touch from God in these times of persecution that more than makes up for the physical aspects of pain. In fact, Stephen, remember Stephen, the first martyr of the church? It says he was being stoned. And it says he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And it's like, whoa, his eyes were open, kind of like in the Old Testament. The prophet Elisha, we talked at that in our Bible study last week was Friday. It's going to be Wednesdays. And it was so amazing because they were surrounded by the enemy. The Aram, the king of Aram, and the Arameans were gathering around Israel, and Elisha was there. He was the prophet of God, and his servant goes out, and he goes, man, we're surrounded. And Elisha said to him, there are more with us than there are with them. And he's like, are you nuts, Elisha? Look, come out here and look at this. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And the beautiful thing is, his eyes were open, and he saw around the enemy, the armies of God. And it was like, and God blinded him. And then Elisha led them to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said, should I kill him? In other words, it's like, yeah, God has brought me this great victory. And this is one of those awesome passages where Elisha said, no, feed him, take care of him. And when the Arameans found themselves in that, they realized that, man, we could have been done in. And they didn't. They had mercy on us. They cared for us. They made peace. And guess what? They made peace, at least in that generation. Sad to say, many times it doesn't, in fact, it didn't continue through the generations. But in that generation, there was no longer war between the Arameans and the Israelites. And so you see God at work as people stand for him. And that's what I want to encourage you this morning, is to stand. And if we do receive persecution, know that God is with you through it all. And that as he is with us through it all, our testimony does ring out. And who knows the hearts that are going to be touched. In fact, it is said of many Romans who were a part of these persecution of Christians, when they saw how they responded, that they weren't lashing out, they weren't cursing, they weren't doing all the things a lot of people who were being killed for whatever they believed in or whatever that was contrary to what the Romans wanted them to believe, that these people had a peace. There was something different about them in this walk with Jesus that they had. And many of those persecutors became believers. And then they themselves, Roman guards, were then killed along with them because they thought, wow, who are these people that respond to life in the way in which these Christians do? And that's what we need to have in our heart, is that I believe in Jesus. The world around me laughs and mocks at that. But as I believe in him, I see the change that his spirit brings to me. I am transformed. I have this blessedness, this happiness that comes into my heart, in my life. And as I walk in these ways, I see that God brings me through all the challenges, the hardships of life. And as I walk through them with my hand in his hand, and then with each other, together as brothers and sisters, it does shine out as a testimony. And you look at, in fact, right now, in Ukraine, the Christians, guess what? Most of them stayed. Some did flee, but most of them stayed. And you know what they're doing? They're reaching out to their brothers and sisters, and not just the Ukrainian brothers and sisters, but the Russians. And they're doing kind, merciful, forgiving things. And it is. I'm getting reports from that part of the world, some of our missionaries who have connections there. Just had lunch with Bob here a couple weeks ago. God is at work, even in that horrible situation. And we need to continue to pray for Ukraine, for Russia, and the whole world. You hear all this talk going on of war, rumors of wars. And we need to be about our Father's business. Amen. Amen. And know that no matter what happens, God is with us in the trenches. And to let the light of Jesus shine through us. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you for the truths that we have given us in the Word of God. And Lord, we accept it as the Word of God. We thank you that these words give life to us. Jesus said the words he speaks, they are spirit, they are life. He said everyone on the side of truth is going to listen to him. And Lord, we pray that you will turn people's hearts. We pray for those who would oppose us the most, that you will open their blinded eyes, that we will see Apostle Paul conversions. Those who are the hardest, those who are the most diametrically opposed to the message of the cross, we pray in Jesus' name that people's eyes would be open, that we would need to see these people not as our enemy. We recognize who our enemy is. The enemy is Satan and the hordes of hell. What people are as pawns in his hands. And we need to pray these people are our mission field. And Lord, may we reach out to our mission field, the world around us, to do kind, loving, nice things for people who are not kind and loving back to us. Lord, help us as we're going to continue on here in August in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look at exactly what Jesus said about those things. That's what really distinguishes us. Because it's easy to love those who love us. But how do we react to those who don't love us? And so, Lord, that is it today. We pray that we will demonstrate your character and your spirit and help us to reach our mission field with everything that's within us. Thank you, Lord. Send us forth from this place today encouraged and to know that we need to be about our Father's business. And yet that also involves enjoying going out fishing, going out golfing, doing things together with family, going to the beach, going for walks, riding our bikes, all these different things that we do. Whatever we do, Scripture says, we do it all recognizing that God is shining through us to the world around us. Help us to see that and to live life to the fullest as our hearts cry. We just look to you now and ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's wonderful people say together, amen. Amen. Amen.